As you're taking your seat, I want you to look toward the windows and look at the weather. When we started praying, we started singing about the glory of God. I looked over and it wasn't downcast anymore. It wasn't overcast anymore and it wasn't raining. So I think the glory of God can show up in rain, but I sure like it when he shows up in sunshine. You know, last week we began a journey in a series talking about following Jesus. Sounds elementary, I know that. But sometimes we get diverted. We find ourselves not following Jesus. When I think about those two words, following Jesus, I'm reminded of two hymns from my growing up years that offer me visuals of following Jesus. Maybe you're a visual learner. Maybe that helps you. It always helps me. The first one is, He leadeth me. Some of those words are, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And the next one, in the garden, He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. It helps me to get a visual about following Jesus. Following Jesus is the most secure and loving place we can ever find. The first component in this series was to feed God's sheep, as we discussed last week. This has a spiritual aspect and a natural aspect. Both are important. But in our following Jesus, it's not enough to give Him lip service. There must be an action step. The disciples followed Him when He said, follow me. They stepped into action. Today is really part two of Feed My Sheep. And I draw your attention to a familiar story in the New Testament in Luke 10. Starting in verse 25. Just then a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do we have to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret that? The scholar said, well, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and the muscle and intelligence. And that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, Jesus said. Don't we love that? Good answer, Jesus said. Do it and you'll live. Looking for a loophole. I'm a king of loopholes. I like to find the easy way. Looking for a loophole, he asked, just how would you define neighbor? And Jesus answered him by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, they beat him up, and they went off leaving him half dead. Luckily, I think it's interesting, luckily a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw the him, he angled across to the other street. The other side, excuse me. Then a Levite religious man showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan, who was the least likely to stop there, traveling the road, came upon him. And when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. And then he lifted him onto his donkey and led him to an inn and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and he gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs you any more, put it on my bill and I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar responded. Jesus said, go and do the same. Action step, go and do the same. The truth is that there's a tendency in all of us to ignore and not feed or shepherd God's people. Here's some excuses that I could come up with. Maybe you can come up with more. When we're faced with an opportunity to meet a need in someone, well, I'm not qualified. Or I don't have the time. Or I don't want to be inconvenienced. And here's my favorite, they're probably working a scam. I'm fearful of what they may do to me. I don't want to get involved. I don't have what they need. Listen, there are so many reasons why we don't feed and shepherd God's people. But we must remember that Jesus left us here on this earth to continue his work. Jesus modeled what he asked us to do. That's why he wants us following him. See, when we follow Jesus, we will always be in the right place at the right time. When we follow Jesus, we will have what we need when we need it. When we follow Jesus, we won't have to worry about the results, because the results are up to him. Today, we're going to challenge you even more to be actively involved in following Jesus by feeding and shepherding his sheep. Just the idea of giving someone food, you may think, is only going to feed them. But there's a shepherding aspect that comes from that. There's a shepherding aspect when your heart is moved by the things that move God's heart. And surely the priest would have done it. Surely the Levite would have done it. But no, the least likely one to have the Father's heart showed it. And he stepped into action. We all need to be challenged at times, because we find a comfortable place of living. And if it's full of enough good things, we feel good about ourselves, when we might not be following Jesus in those good things. We have a responsibility as a member of the family of God, the army of God, to tend God's sheep, to feed God's sheep, to shepherd God's sheep. And that is practically, and it's also spiritually. I want you to watch this clip.
1 in 8. Pastor Brian shared a little bit to kind of get us started this morning, and he came from Luke 10. And there was another pastor or minister who came from Luke 10 at a particular point in American history, and I think it's interesting. It was Martin Luther King Jr. And it was the night before he was assassinated. And one of the things that he said about the text, which is so fitting for us today as we talk about the issue of food insecurity, not just in America, but in our community, he said about Luke 10, he said, "The priest and the Levite seem to be primarily concerned with one thing. What is going to happen to me if I stop?" Because it's a dangerous, risky proposition to pull aside from your path and to take care of someone when you don't even know if maybe the people who did it are waiting for you to do it. But Martin Luther King Jr. Said, but the Samaritan person asked a different question. Not what will happen to me, but he asked a different question. What would happen to the man if I don't stop? So maybe the question for us this morning as we think about hunger is, you know, not what it's going to take from us or what's the cost involved if we do something practical, but maybe the question is, what would happen to people, the 1 in 8, if we don't get involved? In fact, Jesus says it this way in Matthew 25:35-37. This is probably the most important thing Jesus ever said about hunger. "I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And he sums this up by saying, "As you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me." So, online audience and those of you in person, Jesus says something here in this text that's mind-blowing. He actually says, in taking care of the most vulnerable people in your community, you're not just following me, you're actually serving me. You're actually paying attention to me. Jesus has a preference, it seems, for the poor and those who are on the margins of society. So that's why we are taking this issue up, not just today, but as a church all the time, but specifically today we want to highlight this. And to do that, we have our director of the Center of Hope, Ms. Yvonne Murray, who's here with us. As many of you know, Yvonne has been a part of our community here at North Star for many years. She had some moments when she was in other places, but overall, it's been a long time. In fact, she is one of the few people around here who remembers little John Lakin. So that's a long time ago. So she's been a part of our North Star family for a very, very long time. And she spent 30 plus years as a social worker in Richland County School District 1. And so she's no stranger to dealing with vulnerability in people's lives and what it means to not just be a social worker, but a follower of Jesus in doing so. So we were extremely happy when she assumed the role of the director of the Center of Hope, which I'm not going to go into detail about because I want her to be able to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to have a quick interview kind of conversation, just a little back and forth about this whole issue of hunger. And Yvonne, to get us started, if you could just explain to us exactly what is Hunger Action Month and let us know a little bit more about food insecurity here in Columbia specifically.
First of all, good morning. Am I on? Testing.
Okay, you muted it. Sorry. Okay.
All right. First of all, good morning. I'm very excited to be here to talk about Hunger Action Month. I move with great passion to help people in our community. So in a nutshell, Hunger Action Month is a nationwide movement to raise awareness across America. 34 million people, including 9 million children, are food insecure. 65,000 residents of Richland County are food insecure. Research shows that poor school attendance, behavior issues, anxiety, aggression, failing grades are coming from students who are food insecure. Seniors, hunger is a pressing issue in the United States. 5.5 million seniors, 60 years of age and up, and 3.8 million older adults, 50 to 59 years old, experience food insecurity. In 2020-2021, Richland County's most vulnerable citizens were children and seniors in rural residents who didn't have access to much grocery. And I'd like to take a pause here and say that the Center of Hope, from February to July, we have served 505 households. That is a total of 1,545 people. Last week alone, we served 108 people. The households average from about a size 4 up. We have seen families up to as size 8. Most of our families are low to moderate income. A great deal of who we see are seniors. We've had people to come on bikes, walk, mopeds, cars. They come doubled up. And they walk. It's really what I like about it is we're right there nestled in like a community. So we are becoming familiar with the people in the area as well.
That's great. And just so you, I know most of you know, but I just don't want to take it for granted that everyone knows, but the Center of Hope is the facility or the church that we acquired a few years ago in Forest Acres. So that's where the hub of the Center of Hope is. We also have placement here, but the central hub where the office is and where we're having a lot of our foot traffic and a lot of our serving capacity taking place is at the Forest Acres location. So I just wanted to give you guys an idea of where that particular place is. And Yvonne, even though you've already kind of touched on a little of what we do, if you could just share with us a few more ways that North Star is working from within the community to try to alleviate food insecurity.
Sure. So we operate the food pantry. So we have a location in Forest Acres on Sunnyside Drive. Then, praise the Lord, we've got a location right here behind the church. Oh, got to point this way. Help me. We got a location right here at the church, our northeast location. We're open on Thursdays in Forest Acres every Thursday from 10 to 12 noon, and the second Saturday, same hours, Here at the Northeast location, we're open on the fourth Saturdays from 10 to 12. One of the things that the church is doing is we have a backpack program. And I may be going into it a little detail more, but some people may be familiar with it, but I'm just going to share. We do have a backpack program in Richland too, and backpack programs offers families free groceries to take home for the week, weekends and school breaks. Food backpack include healthy, easy to prepare meals for kids. We partner with another school in Richland One, the Reset program, where these are students who are transitioning back to their schools and have a plan to decrease their suspensions and recidivism of returning to the hearing board. So we provide the snacks for the students to shop on Friday when they earn behavioral bucks to change and correct behavior. So that's a positive. We have a Food Share South Carolina program. This partnership helps us to make sure that all people, not just some people, but everybody in our community has access to fresh, affordable fruits and vegetables that support a healthy dietary pattern. We got a grant from the Baptist Association where we're able to give out fruit to our families through our food pantry. That's a plus. You can shop for it online. It's connected to the church. And so you can go online and shop for your family as well. That system takes a debit or credit. For families who use SNAP or EBT, they have to order directly from Food Share South Carolina, which is locally at Columbia Mall. And I think most of us are familiar with our Thanksgiving outreach, and we start this every October, begins starting around October.
Yep.
Okay. And then we have a weekly intercessory prayer team. We are praying for the families that come through the Center of Hope. We are bonding with each other. We are seeing how God is just answering and moving in our community. We have a birthday outreach for seniors who are age 65 and older, where they get a birthday card each on their birthday. We have a community garden. We need volunteers to help us get ready for our fall planting. So if you got a green thumb, we need you. We are partnering with other local churches in the community, grocery stores. We're connected to Harvest Hope Food Bank. We receive referrals from school librarians, school social workers. And we receive referrals from school social workers, mental health, VA, word of mouth. We are a hub for the hunger ministry with the Columbia Metro Baptist Association. And this year, I'm very happy, we are hosting our first tea party, Shades of Hope, Cultivating Relationships. This is a partnership with Reveal Inc. This takes place Saturday. It's a network and collaboration and fun. And our very own Amanda Troer will guide us in etiquette. And this is the first time that we're hosting an event. And I'm sure there's another one to come alongside.
That's really great. There's something that you hinted at this when you first started talking, and then you did it again with this question. And I want to really piggyback off of it as we move forward. You make a connection between food insecurity and how it affects students specifically in different ways. Suspension, behavioral problems, and the reason I bring that up is because I'm reminded, even in the Gospels, Jesus feeds 4,000, he feeds 5,000. And in both contexts, he's dealing with people who are vulnerable and they don't have access to food. And if we're honest, most of us operate from the standpoint, just give them the word, because we give them the word, everything else takes care of itself. And Jesus actually gives them the word, but doesn't just, okay, send them out. No, let's feed them. And the disciples actually, in both cases, are like, I mean, are you crazy? I mean, we did the word. That's the most important thing. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources for this other stuff. But it seems as if, from Jesus' standpoint, there's a direct link between people's issues in terms of their, in this case, food insecurity, and how it affects them in the other places in their lives. And so just that connection that is not just food insecurity, it's other things. It follows them at school. It follows us at work. It follows us everywhere we go, and it has deep impact in our journeys. But to go to the next question, and this is one of my favorites because we've talked about this, but one of my favorite quotes is by Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, and he says that Jesus's vulnerable way of engaging with people was really transformative. And what he gets at is, with Jesus, it's not just meeting needs. Jesus didn't just do stuff for people, but in a real sense, Jesus was a man of the people. Jesus was with people. He had solidarity with people. And my question here is, as you work in ministries that are directly linked to meeting practical issues in people's lives, if we're honest, and just, you know, we're church, so you have to be honest, all of you. And Pastor Brian already hit at it in his talk. Sometimes we try to show up as the Jesus people, but we have these biases and these narratives in our head, these stereotypes in our head about the people that we're serving, and we end up doing the thing James tells us not to do in James 2, favoritism and judging people. So one of the things that I came across a lot when I worked with the food pantry was this stereotype. If people have material needs, it must be connected to spiritual poverty. Let me put it to you this way. If you come to our food pantry, if we spend a lot of our time trying to get you connected to our Sunday service, we're making an argument that the reason you're having issues is because you don't go to church. You see the problem with that? You're making a judgment about people. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what their lived experience is, right? So with that, Yvonne, my question basically is, what can we learn from Jesus about working with people who are at the margins, who are struggling with anything really, but specifically food insecurities? What do we learn from Jesus in terms of getting away from those stereotypes and just serving people in the right attitude and the right posture?
Well, Pastor John, I don't know if I can say anything more than what you've already said.
I'm sorry. That
I
was
think
true.
I think it was beautiful. I really do. I think what I want us to realize as a church is that we're here to walk alongside people.
Yeah.
We're here not just to give food, but we want to build relationships with the families. When they come in, we know them and they know us. They know a piece of our story as well as we know a piece of their story. Mm. When they come in, we don't see them on occasions, and we are like, okay, wonder what happened to Miss X, where's Mr. J? We haven't seen them in a while. So with my work as a previously having case management experience, I like to follow up. I like to follow up and find out what's going on. You know, has something happened in particular that you're, you know, struggling with? And those are the kind of dialogues that we're having with our families. And I think if I could just stress anything, you know, we went through a pandemic and we thought that maybe after the pandemics that maybe the food numbers would go down. They haven't. People are really struggling to put food on the table for their families. It's gotten to a point that with the groceries that are gone up, people have come through the pandemic with chronic health issues. So we have a lot of families who are unemployed, underemployed, and seeking direction. And us operating a food pantry is allowing us to be able to be a part of the journey to help support them. And that's what I want to say. We're here to remove the stigma, yeah, the shame. I tell, you know, a lot of the volunteers, it takes a lot of courage, you know, to come to a food pantry. We've encountered people who have never come before. This has been their first experience. But with their first experience, I don't care if it's been a first experience, maybe they've gone to food pantries all over Colombia. But one thing that we want to do is maintain people's dignity, yeah, and their respect. Yeah. We want to honor the life that Christ has given them. We want to love them the way that Jesus loves them. We are not here, you know, to judge. We're not here when they walk up to say anything about how they came, who they came with, how they're dressed. It's not important. What we're concerned with is that these are people that God has created. And these are the people that we're here to help. And if I can't stress anything more, is that the church has a dual mission, you know? And that is to preach the gospel, but also to reach the lost, you know? And we've got to meet people where they are. And I was sharing with Pastor John, I think, one time when we first got there, there were a lot of carts in the communities. And some of the people wanted to say, oh, where did these carts come from? We need to move these carts. They don't need to be around here. That's a distraction. And my first thought was, when we came here, we found these carts. We're not moving these carts. We're the new kids on the block. Yeah. We just got here. This is their neighborhood. We're the outsiders. We just came in. Let's get to know our neighbors. Let's find out how they do things here. It's not up for us to go in there to tell them how they need to do. They've been operating and doing things before we got there. So needless to say, those carts became our carts after a while. So those are the kind of things. And I know I kind of deviated with that, but that is really touches my heart. And what I like to see is, I often think of the Jesus feeding the multitude and how he looked out and there was a boy. What? Y'all talk to me in silence. How many loaves of bread? How many fish? Okay. And it was lots of people, right? But what did Jesus do? Was he able to feed them or did they go away hungry? He fed them. The food multiplied. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, don't think that you giving one canned good is not going to help. It's going to help. Don't think that you're giving $1 is not going to help. Because when you put it in the master's hand, it multiplies.
That's right.
It multiplies. We've seen this happen. We have gotten there sometimes and our cupboards are bare almost because we've given out all we had. And then the next thing I'm like, Lord, you know, and then I've got a church calling me, hey, Yvonne, we got some food for you guys. And they're dropping it off, you know. So that's what relationships and partnerships do. When you get to know people, and not only the people that are coming there, but people in our community, they get to know us. And so guess what? While we're praying, God is sending messages to all those people that we're in partnership with. And they meet the needs of the people. So we're saying that we have not been open and we've not been able to feed the folk that come to us, but we need help.
Listen, that was great. And the reason that, I can always depend on Miss Ingrid to give me a moment where it messes up my train of thought because now we're clapping. And I'm like, yes, yes, what are we doing? But that whole idea of learning from Jesus that we don't give people dignity, we affirm their dignity.
Absolutely.
But they matter. Your socioeconomic dynamic doesn't determine your significance, right? But it also reminds me of something our first leader of the food pantry used to say, Connie Page. She used to remind us all the time, the golden rule, you know, you treat others the way you want to be treated. And then she'd follow that up with this important statement. We're serving people today, and we have no idea if this could be us tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And that's just a very powerful, powerful thing. But I do, again, I don't want to deviate, but I do want to hit on something because I don't want you to get away from this without me giving you props for something. Because she's not just talking. This is not just her talking because she knows how to talk. This is Yvonne Murray. Yeah. When we first started at the food pantry, Forest Acres 2020, one of the things that she wanted to do was do a survey. So I remember we were printing up surveys, and I think we did some edits and everything. And in one of our conversations, she talked about why we were doing surveys. She said, because of the fact that we're not bringing God to Forest Acres. He's already there.
Right.
We don't have a clue about the community. We want them to see us not as the people coming to save them or coming to make everything better. We want to be a part of the community. And so that kind of humility, I think, it's not just important for churches and organizations, but individuals. That as I'm walking, living my life, and connecting with people who might have issues, I'm not better than anybody. I'm journeying with people, and God is connecting me with people, not to fix anybody, not to make all their issues go away, but to be a part of their journey with them. Because ultimately, to quote the good Reverend Doctor here, we're putting it in the Master's hands, right? He'll take care of all those other things. So that's a very good point. As we get close to wrapping up, Yvonne, I do want to ask you this important question. And you've talked about some things already, but I want you to think about this. What is one thing you can leave with us online and in person? What's one thing that you can leave with us just as we try to practically live our lives in view of what we're talking about today? So what's one thing you can leave with us that you would say, hey, if you don't do anything else when you leave this place, do this or be this way? And then as a follow-up to that, if you could mention ways that people can actually practically help with the food insecurity issue as far as through the church.
So I would say, get involved. Do something. Hunger Action Month is a great time to get involved. But it's just not in September. It's every month of the year. It's every day of the year. But this is an excellent month to get involved, to start, okay? And you might ask, well, what can I do? You can host a food drive. You can talk to friends, colleagues, people at work. You can donate any amount. Nothing is too small. You can pledge a one-time gift. You can advocate. You can share what we're doing here at the Center of Hope through North Star Christian Center to help end hunger. We're looking at some laws on the book that affect people in our community from them not even being able to get SNAP benefits. If people have, you know, convicted a felony drug charge, that bars them from ever getting food stamps for their family. So those are the kind of social platforms that we want to take a look at. So if you've got any kind of social justice vibe, a spirit moving in you, connect with me. I'm looking for those people, okay? I'm looking for you. You know, I was telling Brother Stefan and Brandon the other day, I said, Jesus tells us to go out into the highway and the hedges and compel them to come in. So this is it. This is me compelling you to come in. Okay, compelling you to come join us. Come get involved. We're looking at developing a resource directory. And we need volunteers. You can volunteer not just by coming to the Center of Hope, but there are volunteer opportunities that you can do from home. And if you're interested, I'd like to talk to you about that. Last week, our donation from one of our stores was a little bleak, was not as large as we wanted it to be. And so I got asked a very important question. They said, well, Yvonne, you can't pick up from other stores? And my answer to that was, yes, I can, but I only have one driver. He can't pick up from every place. So we need help. We need people who have the availability to help us pick up, okay? So that's what I'm going to say. We need your help. You know, and then one thing I'm going to say, because I know the time here, but I want to say September 15th is National Hunger Awareness Day. Wear your orange. Wear your orange on September 15th. Go to social media, post pictures, tag us, tag the Center of Hope, tag the church. We want to know. We want you to talk about conversations with people at work. You never know who you're sitting next to. That person may be a person in need of food or know somebody who's in need of food. There may be people among us today sitting in this very audience that may need it. We want you to know that we're here for you, okay? We got a whole gamut of things that we could do, but I just want to tell you, you getting involved can make a difference. You can make a difference. One canned good from everybody in this room. Do you see how many canned goods we have? So that's what I want to say.
I can give you the exact amount of canned goods because I just did a count.
Okay.
No, but I'm not. No, I'm not.
All right.
But to be very clear, I want to wrap up with the very practical things you can do. Number one, let me advise you to do this, especially if you're online, because you can do this as soon as you log off. Go to North Star Center of Hope. On their Facebook page, they will have a list of things every week of the month that'll give you practical things you can do that we just don't have the time to go through all of that here. But follow them on Facebook at North Star Center of Hope. You can definitely do that. That's easy. The one donated canned good. Next week, we will have bins in the lobby where we're asking everyone on campus that if you could to help practically with the food pantry. This is every single month, two times a month, actually three times a month, that we're constantly giving food out to the community, because again, the goal of the game is not hoarding anything, it's to give out as much as we can. So if every single family, every household, we don't want to overdo it, we have the Thanksgiving box outreach coming up, but if at least every family can donate one non-perishable food item next week when you come to campus, we'll have a bin in the lobby, you can put it there, it'd be easy. If you're online and you just don't come as much on Sundays, but you'd like to participate, you can come. Our office is open during the week, Monday through Thursday. You can come between 9 and 5 every day and drop off your canned good. You can do that. But again, Yvonne mentioned volunteerism. If you go online at northstarcolumbia.org and go to the events tab, you will see a sign-up page for volunteering with the Center of Hope. All you have to do is go there, put your name, number, and email address, and Yvonne will follow up with you. There are many opportunities to volunteer within the Center of Hope. It's not just the hands-on food pantry. It's driving where we're going to pick up items to bring them back to the pantry. It's being out in the garden. There are so many different elements to what you could actually do with the Center of Hope. So we definitely encourage you, if you have some time and you're interested, that you can volunteer that way. One final way you can actually help out very practically. Also at northstarcolumbia.org under the events tab, every single week it's there. If you've ever been, if you've ever registered for anything online, you may have seen it, just had no idea what it was, but it's always on our site, it's always live. It's called Food Share. This is a program that we participate in where people are able to get fresh produce every single week, and they're able to order it through our website. You have to pay for it, of course. The prices and everything are there. But the reason we bring that up is this. We have seniors who really, really, really value that program. But because of fixed income and all the issues that Yvonne's talked about, they can't really afford it. If you don't really want to do the canned good, or you want to do a canned good, but you want to do something even more meaningful, you can go online and register, go to the events tab, and you can go into Food Share, and you can either you can fill that out, and we'll find a way to make it clear that you're just donating it, or you can write a check or give online at our normal giving spaces, and just make sure you make it clear that it's for Food Share, and we can help seniors and others, but especially our senior citizens in the community. We can actually help them get fresh produce so that they can have not just food, but food that's good. That's healthy. That seems to be the other thing. Not just food, but food that's healthy and things that'll contribute to their life, not take away. Yvonne, thank you so very much for sharing. And as we wrap up,
let me mention, John, let me get her to expand on something. Can you talk about the favor we've got with stores in the community and all that they're in? Name the stores that are helping us.
All right. We are picking up from Trader Joe's, and so that is a plus for us. We are picking up from Harvest Hope Food Bank. Lowe's Food in Forest Acres is a big supporter of us. We've had the Forest Lake Nursery contribute to the Center of Hope. So we are building partnerships. So, and I tell you what, we are grateful to our neighbors in Forest Acres. We have Publix that we pick up from every week that donates to us in Trenum Plaza. So we're looking to develop other partnerships, even more in Forest Acres, but some more here along the Northeast Columbia area. So thank you, Pastor Brian, for reminding me of that. And we have Eastminster Presbyterian Church that does a lot with us. We have Kilburn Park Baptist Church that has come along and journeyed with us, volunteers in beautiful Sony Creek Baptist Church out of Ridgeway. We have people that are connecting with us, helping us to make this vision run and help us do what we need to do to reach people. So we're looking for more volunteers. I think from this group here, I can get at least 20 people.
All right, if you're a small group leader or you volunteer with me, come talk to me first.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things to do, and you know, we're looking at having some outreach services, because one of the things that we've identified is, you know, the people, their needs, and so there's a need for additional outreach. So there's a need for Bible studies, and you know, and I can't express how important prayer has been. So if you're a prayer warrior, we need you to join alongside with us. You know, so we have some volunteers, and I don't want to take that away, but I'm looking at the people, and I'm looking at the people who work with me, alongside with me every day. And I tell you, there are people that started out with us, and I call these the pioneers. They're no longer with us, but they were so instrumental in what we were doing. And so you've ever touched the Center of Hope at ever, I want you to be acknowledged today.
Amen. Amen. In fact, with that being said, if you are currently working with the Center of Hope or the food or the backpack program here at North Star, we'd ask you to stand. And if you are someone here who may not be volunteering right now, but you were a part of some of those early teams with the storehouse and some of those areas, we would like to acknowledge you as well, if you could stand. And if you're online, please wave your hand in the chat so we can know you're there. If you're either current or you were part of that pioneering team that got us started, please share by waving in the chat. And Yvonne, I want you to stand with me as I pray. And one other group, if you are a member of North Star, and let's say you're just connected in these kind of efforts in other places, you're still a part of us, and we love you, and we want to make sure we acknowledge you too. So if you work with the vulnerable population, those dealing with food insecurity, homelessness, or anything, would you stand? Even if you're doing it outside of North Star, that's not the point. You're doing it, and Jesus knows it because you're doing it to Him. If you could stand. And I just want to pray for all of us as we continue to think about not just bringing attention and awareness to it today, but thinking about what it means to open up our lives to be people that partner with God as we come in the lives of people who need us right now. Father, I thank you so much for this group of people. I thank you for the lives that are touched by their faithfulness. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to provide for every single ministry effort, every single vision, every single idea that comes from the Spirit, that you will provide for, and that the fruit of it would be that people's lives would be transformed by your vulnerable touch and your vulnerable engagement. Lord Jesus, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians as well, actually, he mentions this idea that we have received abundantly through Christ, and therefore we should be generous people. So I pray for this community that we continue to press into generosity as we remember that the money that we give, the time that we give, God, that it's not in vain and it's not for an institution per se, but it's for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you and we love you and we give you all the glory. As we said earlier, you are worthy of it all, and we give it all to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a really, really big round of applause. Tremendous team. And, you know, the time slot that we have today is not near enough to be able to talk about all the people's lives that they've touched and people they've ministered to. And Yvonne's connection in the school system is just priceless. You can't go anywhere in that school setting without someone knowing who Yvonne Murray is and what she stands for. And in fact, we've done a bit of introducing her to people that we know in ministry in the city. And without fail, every one of them has come back and thanked us for introducing Yvonne to them, because she rises to the top in how she deals with people and how she cares about things. And she's just a tremendous gift, as our whole team. And I have a feeling with that compelling invitation, the team will get larger. We want to see the Northeast presence become larger, more meaningful. I don't know how many schools we're in with the backpack program, five or so, four, we go to four schools. Every Friday, I think it's Friday you do it, maybe it's Thursday you do it, but they deliver enough food for each child that's in there that's in need for the weekend. That's a lot of food. We call it backpack. I don't know that we use backpacks. It might be just a regular old bag, but it's a backpack program, and we've been doing it for years, and that's in District 2. And because of the work that Stefan's done in that part, we're really known in the school district too as well. One is we have the mayor of Richland 1, Von Murray, on our team. And then we have an ambassador here with Stefan in Richland 2. So listen, there's so much going on in that area. You might wonder why we would take a service time for this. Well, it was important, as Pastor John said, it was important that Jesus addressed hunger in a mass way and showed a miracle. You know, every time we serve someone in the name of Jesus, there's a miracle component there. Not because we're doing it, but because Jesus is doing it. So it's important that we reach people in their need. And as we labor with them, as we are maybe befriending them, their testimony that we have begins to come out on how Jesus met us and how he provided for us and how he's no respecter of persons. See, it's just a natural flow if we meet their natural need or at least facilitate some kind of meeting to their need. We can never be 100% of everybody's need. It's just not possible. But that's why it takes so many. Like so many of us. So just let's give them another round of applause. They just